Welcome back. This is 180. I'm Carl Claussen. Well, what a treat. He's with me in studio again. How are you, Dr. George Koch?
Carl Claussen, I'm terrific, and I'm glad to be here.
We're in unique moods today, aren't we?
We're in a really interesting mood. It'll be good to see where this goes.
This ought to be good. We call this What We Believe and Why, and if you're listening right now, which you probably are if you can hear me say that, which is one of the most absurd things a host can ever say. And a host should never call himself a host.
We are in a mood.
We're digressing here a little bit. But if you ever find yourself just wondering, I just don't know how in the world to get reconciled with someone, you're not alone. Today, we're going to chase something, a thread that we've been going after. We've almost undone an entire sweater. We've been chasing this thread so long, George.
We have. I think it wraps around the earth a couple of times by now.
It does. But this issue of reconciliation, let's just talk about it generally before we jump into your book, What We Believe and Why. George, as a pastor of an Anglican church in West Chicago, a city, a suburb of Chicago proper, you've got great traditions, you've got great parameters, you've got great expectations, you've got clear boundaries. You in the Anglican movement, you yourself say you can color outside the lines to some degree, but no matter how much structure we try to provide or liberty we try to provide, it seems like life on earth is full of the potential for conflict, isn't it?
Well, I think it's full of conflict as well as the
potential. Let's not talk potential. Let's just be real.
Right.
It's full of
challenges. The challenge is, what do we do with conflict? How do we get past it rather than be buried in it?
Let's talk. I'm gonna ask you, this is different than just the academic side. With your pastoral hat on, how dangerous is it to squash conflict? To be a person that you aren't a peacemaker, because peacemaker requires engagement, but peacekeepers, put the fire down, put the fire down now, kids. There's a danger in that too, isn't there?
Well, there is, because suppressing something which is trying to assert itself will always produce an explosion somewhere else.
Yes,
it's
sir.
It's hydraulic. You push it down here, it pops up over there.
That's
so
crazy.
You might as well deal with it rather than try to suppress it.
You've probably never been to Chuck E. Cheese, but they get this whack-a-mole game there.
They do. It's exactly that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that game. It's a bummer. Ever since my kids have grown out of that stage, it's been forever ago, I have no excuse. So I'm hungry for grandkids to go. So I have an excuse to go in there and play whack-a-mole again.
Yep.
All right, you've done a great job. And again, with me is George Koch. He's the pastor of the Res Church. It's an Anglican church in West Chicago. How are things going there, by the way?
Things are going really well. There is developing a deeper sense of family and togetherness than we've ever had. It's really,
well, that's
really
a
sort
big
of remarkable.
Statement. That's it a big is. Statement. That's great to hear. George, you've done a great job with this work, What We Believe and Why. I encourage you to get it as you're listening along here. We've still got quite a few of these weeks to go through to get through this great work. And this has not been laborious. This has been a lot of fun. You get to a section, though, called application. It's the application of reconciliation. You start with a quote from Luther that is absolutely astounding. One of the things that I love, it's a citation from Psalm 122. And what's amazing about this citation is that I just think it just proves how the challenges that we face today in reconciliation are no different than they were years and millenniums ago.
Right. This is actually from Matthew Henry.
What did I say?
Luther.
Oh, excuse me.
I like Luther, too. But
yeah, Matthew Henry's commentary. Sorry
right.
about that.
Right.
I hate to misascribe things.
Yep.
Go ahead.
He said this, if all the disciples of Christ were of one mind and kept the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, their enemies would be deprived of their chief advantages against them. But Satan's maxim has always been to divide that he may conquer, and few Christians are sufficiently aware of his designs.
Ooh, that's why you started that chapter with that.
You got it.
All right, George, where do we go? What's the blueprint? You've not just got the Bible in front of you. You've got history and you've got wisdom and of years of being a pastor.
And we have the prayer of Jesus in John 17 that we all would be one.
Yes.
And the challenge is that in the Christian church, not just from the time of Luther, which was 1517 and on, not just from 1054, when the Eastern and Western Church divided, but all the way back to the earliest days, even when people were claiming that they were followers of Apollos or Paul or another, there has been conflict in the church. And the challenge is, how do we remain followers of the same Lord, testify to the same salvation, and get past the ideas that have tended to separate us from each other?
Okay, we're going to get to the resolution of conflict. Ironically, we may not get to a chunk of it here today, but I'm teeing this up because this is a great discussion. If all we get out of it is that conflict is something that we need to wade into, not just stand
Absolutely.
Back from,
press
that's good
in.
Enough.
Press in.
That's good enough. What is the downside of not having conflict? What's lost in the absence of conflict? And I'm talking about not conflict as in antagonism, but conflict as in good, healthy debate.
Well, let me bring you back to a place that we've been before and talked about before, and that's a yeshiva. Yeshiva is a seminary where rabbis are trained. And they have a principle there called Havarim. It's plural word in Hebrew. It means friends, basically.
Now, we're going to get into that heavy down the road, aren't we?
We are.
Okay, go ahead.
But the idea that they have there is that you must debate a sentence in Scripture from various interpretations of it, and you must take sides. You take one side, I'll take the other, and we will debate what the Lord was really trying to communicate in this sentence of Scripture. And after we've gone at it hot and heavy, sparks flying, then the Rosh, the head of the yeshiva, comes over and he says, change sides. And I have to then argue your point, you have to argue mine. And the principle that they operate on is that that kind of debate, as healthy and energetic as it is, opens up a crack in our pride, if you would, for the Holy Spirit of God to come in and enlighten both of us. And the name given to us, Havarim, means friends. And the idea is, after we have debated in order to discover the mind of God, at the end of it, we remain friends rather than having declared each other anathema or shunned each other or turned each other out because you didn't agree with me and I didn't agree with you.
Yeah, really good stuff. This is why we have to chase this stuff down.
It is. It's where we need to go as Christians. We need to be able to wrestle with these issues without separating from each other.
I love it. Okay, George, here's what we're going to do. When we get together next week, I want to talk application. I know you've got a great one, and that's women in ministry, hot and heavy. So we'll talk about that next week. If you're listening right now going, how can I hear more of this wild man, Dr. George Koch? 1 p.m. Sundays here on AM 1160. And I know the traffic's increasing there because I'm hearing about it. 1 p.m. Sundays right here on AM 1160. And the name of it happens to be called What We Believe and Why.
Just by coincidence.
Yeah. George Koch, everyone. Want to find out more about his church? Resurrection.org. That's resurrection.org. We call it 180 because you can go a new direction.